Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America, hour number two, just past midnight here in St. Louis. Welcome to your Wednesday. And starting off the hour talking about, well, you know, AR-15 removed from the Washington University fraternity house. You just heard that in the news with Alex Degman, but you can find the story at KMOX.com. You know, you got to take these things very seriously. And anytime there's someone that calls in a threat, just think of it this way. You know, even if you think there's no harm in you doing something you're not supposed to do, in this case, having this sort of weapon on campus, you know it's against the policies there. You may not be technically doing something that's criminal, as in there could be no intention of it. You just may be possessing something that shouldn't be there. As you heard during the story, it's still going to be taken in a way where you could be very seriously, like, you know, kicked off a campus or your whole fraternity kicked off a campus. And, you know, even looking at some of the other things that are going on around the nation right now, I wanted to point out a few things that are going on in the gun debate right after I talked to Jerome, who's calling in. So, Jerome, I haven't heard from you in a while. How you been?
Oh, I've been okay. Automobile issue, that's pretty much the down low. We are leaking 2 gallons a day. It's time to get a new vehicle.
No way. But, you're leaking 2 gallons of what? Oil?
Apparently gas, apparently.
You're leaking gallons of gas into your driveway? You sent me a photo of your car. You got like a dirt driveway. Does it just eat up that gas? And
Well, yeah, because I got in it one day, and like, because what... A while back when I talked to you, I said it had leaked. And anyways, I got in and I could smell gas. And I backed up and there was like a spot there. So I threw water on it, you know. And,
is that what you're supposed to do? I don't know. There's products they sell. You can sprinkle things down to try to get up some of those. Like there's that almost like sawdust like things that was supposed to help, you know, eat it up and help you get it off of. Maybe that's just for concrete, but.
Well, that's probably better. I just did it. Because I have a yard and there's creatures everywhere, you know, living out of the country and all that.
Yeah.
But I did that, and then I had to drive it one more day, and then Saturday I drove it to my mechanic and left it there, and then he told me basically it was going to cost $500 to fix it, which is fine, but it hangs in the back. I live out in the middle of nowhere, so it's going to just do it again. And as you see, it's not exactly – it's a money – pit to put, you know,
yeah,
too much into it.
What is it? It's like a 96 Cadillac or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will autograph it and sell it for $3,500.
If you can get $3,500 for that, you would be doing a dance. That's pretty lucky. What's the blue book value on that?
Probably about 5 cents. I honestly did not tell you.
Even like Cars for Kids wouldn't take it.
No, they're like, you're insulting us, sir. We are children. We need help. You're a bad man.
Uh-huh. All right, so you got to get a new car?
Yeah, I'm working on it this week. Had to get some funds put together and so forth. But I tried to get one last week. I told them my price range. I said about $2,000, so he showed me two cars that were $3,500 each.
Of course.
$2,000.
Yeah, you might have to go private. Have you considered getting one of those mini bikes like they do on Dumb and Dumber?
No, but I have thought about, like, in the car that Urkel had on Family Matters.
What was his car?
It was a clown car, remember?
No, a clown car?
Yeah, pretty much. It was like maybe like a foreign car. It was like one person, maybe two, could fit into it. It's basically a seat. With apparently like a motor somewhere. Like,
oh,
a
and it
door.
Would open from the front. I remember, yeah. The door was like at the front and the engine was in the back. So it was like almost like the size of a golf cart if it was enclosed in the door that would access you. And the steering wheel was even on the door. I remember that now.
Him and Carl barely got into it, I think.
I'm looking at this thing now. What an ugly car. Would you actually drive that?
No, because I need leg room.
Yeah.
But I pretty much, like I said, four wheels and a hood is what I'm looking for. Pretty much. But the reason I called, because, well, I was bored and I missed you guys. And I tried to call, kind of check in yesterday with you, and I asked Mr. Mike what who to draw. So I got a guy to draw. But we were talking, and I found out the subject you're talking about, the candy for
cops. With the police.
Horrible idea.
You don't like it. Why not?
Because it's a bad precedent. We've told children for years, do not accept puppies or candy from people in vans and so forth. Now, cops are not, stranger danger, but anybody can put together a cop outfit and get an old cop car, which that would be cool to drive, by the way. And
the old Crown Vic.
Oh, I look sweet. I would look sweet. I'd buy me a hat.
People would look at you. They'd be, no, you don't want it. Anyone that I've known that's gotten a Crown Vic, they say it's frustrating because everyone does the speed limit around you when you have one of those cars.
And then, I've had to do that. I just think it's a bad precedent because I think the idea was great. You know, the spirit was great, trying to get kids. I think we should just fear the cops, respect them. And just stay away from them handing out candy because, they might try to turn this informant with a nice Snickers with almonds something.
They turn you into an informant. Well, I think it's important that the parents be around if you're going to do something like that. But if you have the neighborhood kids, if you're trying to get this certain relationship with them in a positive way, I think it could be effective.
Right. All the fact, the fact you're the media informant. Like in the neighborhood.
They're always waiting for the police. All right, Jerome, good to hear from you.
Well, run the police, but they can inform them because they're fat,
They could. Why not? All right, thank you, Jerome. Good to hear from you.
You do, bye. Bye.
Wow, an update on Jerome's car. So you're saying the duct tape solution didn't work. I was at an AutoZone once. Maybe I shouldn't have said them by name, but I'm not going to tell the rest of the story now. I don't want to get in trouble. But they gave me some pretty terrible advice. Here's the thing. Keep in mind that not everyone you encounter at any of these stores are necessarily experts when it comes to cars. They just may just have a job. So it was gas tank related. Never mind. But either way, double check these things. Go and get that taken care of. You don't want to be leaking gas everywhere you go, leaving a trail like Hansel and Gretel, like a little trail of crumbs when you're driving around, little dots of gas everywhere. That's the last thing you want to do is go out. And so you're at your worker at a store and they say, well, the person who owns the 96 Cadillac, please move your car. There's a giant gas puddle under it. We don't want it to explode. There's got to be some issues, too, of what could get into that tank if it's leaking that much or where the leak's coming from. But then again, this would be a great way for you to get a new car, Urkel style. Or seriously, consider that little mini motorcycle that they drive on Dumb and Dumber. Get yourself one of those. You'll have a great time. You can play. What was the... Like, after he put all that laxative in Jeff Daniels' drink, he's, like, driving down the road. They're playing, like, the Wicked Witch of the West, the monkey song. Dun, 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 he's laughing. Jerome, that could be you laughing at work every day. You would love a ride like that. I heard it's great when it's, like, 40 degrees in freezing rain. That's perfect conditions for that type of vehicle. All right, so the AR-15 we heard in the news removed from the Wash U fraternity house. What about the age limit on AR-15s? Apparently it's on the table, according to the White House. We're going to play a couple of clips based earlier today from Sarah Huckabee Sanders answering questions from the press. And there was a vote. Florida House denies an assault weapons ban. Earlier today, I had some thoughts on that because I was thinking about it while I was out in public. And I think it's a very serious debate that we are having, but we also have to make sure what we're doing is doing things that will be effective. We can't just do things to do them and expect immediate change unless we think the things we're going to do will be effective. And I'll explain that coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Overnight America continues. With Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the Trump administration and the gun debate that is currently going on right now, where is it?
Tomorrow we will be hosting parents, teachers, and students here at the White House to discuss efforts to ensure safety at our schools. Members of the Parkland community will be attending this listening session, as will individuals who were impacted by past school shootings, including the Columbine and Sandy Hook tragedies. On Thursday, we will be hosting local officials, including members of the law enforcement community, to continue that conversation. As the president has said many times, it is the right of every American child to grow up in a safe community. That begins in America's neighborhoods, where the brave men and women of law enforcement have the president's full support. and it extends to our schools where teachers across our nation invest their lives in their students. No parent should ever have to wonder if their child will return home from school at the end of the day. The president has expressed his support for efforts to improve the federal background check system, and in the coming days, we will continue to explore ways to ensure the safety and security of our schools.
That's a statement from Sarah Huckabee Sanders during the press corps meeting, I guess the press conference that happens at the White House. So earlier today, the House inside of Florida voted down a motion to take up a bill that could ban assault rifles, effectively killing the measure for this session. They say the motion failed 36 to 71. There were some high school students there from Stoneman Douglas where the watching the vote to see what would happen next. The bill had been assigned to three committees but was not scheduled for a hearing. The committees will meet again for the legislative session, which ends on March 9th. That means that the bill would be dead unless the House voted to remove it from the committee and let it be considered by the full House. Republican leaders in the House and the Senate say they will consider proposals including raising age restrictions for gun purchases and also red flag bill regarding temporarily taking away someone's guns if they are deemed a threat to others. That's from the Sun Sentinel reporting that, the local newspaper. I think it's good to look at how local media covers some of these things, because national media, we know that from our own experiences here in St. Louis, don't necessarily paint the right picture. They have their own agendas and motives they try to hit. So that's why I try to look at what the local media is talking about. I think it's pretty important. All right, so I was thinking about this earlier, and I'm going to play some more clips from Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and I'm just going to try to be real, because when everyone brings up this AR-15 and CNN, I'm a little disappointed in CNN. I really feel like they are trying to use these kids in these interviews. I know they want to deny it, and they say it's absurd for them to want to use these kids in order to bring this discussion up. I understand these high school students have their opinions on things, and they've been through something tragic, and they have a point of view that is something that is different from ours because we haven't lived or been through a situation like this personally. Well, I can say most people haven't. Some people have have gone through something before. So what you find is that I think CNN is constantly going and talking to these kids, and I think they're somewhat, I don't want to say using them because that sounds way too harsh, but I don't think it's pure-hearted the reason they're bringing up these opinions of these high school students. And when they bring up other opinions and other people in panels and experts to talk about this thing, it always goes back to the AR-15 in this specific gun that was used by Cruz down in Florida to go and shoot the people that were in this school, the high school students and the teachers and the faculty. And I started thinking about this, and I said to myself, this has got to be an honest question, because legislators need to think about this too. And if we're actually going to come up with a solution, we need to think about this too. If the AR-15 was not available to Cruz, do you think he still would have done this at the school and just have found a different weapon? So if you think the answer is yes, if you think that he still would have tried to do something at this school and still would have entered the same way but have used a different weapon, then the question is, how do we stop that? So if the AR-15 just magically disappeared, no longer in existence here in the United States, like let's say we, for whatever reason, could push a button and it was like in the exact same moment of that button, all of those guns turned into dust. The 5 million, 6 million, whatever that number is, I've seen some different accounts, all of them disappear. Does that mean the person behind it that was trying to plot something would say, oh, well, I guess I can't do what I wanted to do now? Or do you think they would have found something else? If they were so disturbed in the head that they would want to do something, wouldn't you just think that they would just try it with something else? I mean, the argument that I've seen other people brought up was, yeah, but it wouldn't be as effective. Well, how sure are you about that? How sure are you it wouldn't be as effective? Or he wouldn't be able to keep doing what he was doing. So if we're trying to get to the root of this, and trying to find a way to stop this from happening, if you can't prevent him from doing something like this, because we should be trying to exhaust all of our options of prevention, if you can't prevent a madman like that from coming in and doing something like this, how do you better prevent it from getting to the level where there's 17 dead? How do you make it so he's stopped immediately? How do you make it so there are some sort of changes out there, or we put priorities in areas that will be effective in order to bring that count down to effectively zero or a very low number? And we want it at zero. We don't want these things happening. So how do we look at the debate that way? And how do we know we're not just saying we can magically get rid of the AR-15s or weapons like that? But ask yourself, if we're going to do an honest change that we really want something different to happen, then what are those things we need to do? Because I just don't believe getting rid of an AR-15 is going to change anything. I don't, when it comes to the mindset of someone that wants to perpetrate these things. And I was thinking about this too earlier today. And please don't get me wrong, and please do not use my words out of context, because we're having an honest conversation here. If we do all of these things, like let's say we try to enact as much as we can in schools, how does that mean about every other place we go to? I mean, are we going to have to enact all of these things in every single business in town, every single public park, every single public attraction? Are we going to have to enact all of these same rules that we're doing in schools everywhere else? Are we going to have armed guards every single location in St. Louis or anywhere in the world? Is that the only thing we can do? So this is where it goes back to the root cause. What are those things that you can enact that make it so we don't have to have where it's like the National Guard standing by every single location we go to? What are those things we can do? And those are the things we should be starting with. We got to get to the root cause. The AR-15 is not the root cause. That we got to be very clear. We don't want to direct all of our attention in areas that are the least effective ways to start. This is why we have to be very careful too about trying to do these knee-jerk reactions. And I don't think we have done those, because the debate continues. I mean, we're still talking about these things. We're still stuck. We're still stuck at where we were before. We haven't enacted anything. Like here's, for example, Sarah Huckabee Sanders on an assault weapon ban. Here's what the White House is saying.
I don't have any specific announcements, but we haven't closed the door on any front. Again, that's what the next several days and weeks will be, to have conversations and to see what this process looks like.
And same thing with the bump stocks came up, and that drew a couple of people raising their eyebrows.
I can tell you that the president supports not having the use of bump stocks, and that we expect further action on that in the coming days. He ordered the Department of Justice and the ATF to review the regulation of bump stocks. My understanding is that review has been completed and movement will take place on that shortly.
All right, so they are doing some things. It looks like they're acting and moving, but then we have to take it a step further and say, what are those things we can be doing as a way to identify and maybe prevent these things? Let me go to Bob, who's calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
I was thinking that if they ban those AR-15s, the other copycat children that followed after those days, they brought something else. They brought something else to school. They brought pistols or whatever they can think of to try to do something that they had in their mind already, you know? So
yeah, and that's the thing. When I think about this, if you were to look at this Cruz kid down in Florida, and you have to honestly ask the question and say, if the AR-15 wasn't available to him, like he purchased this thing, but let's say he wasn't able to purchase it, would he have just used something else? And I honestly think the answer is yes. I think once you're going to do something like this, the kid was already gone in his mind if he thought this was an appropriate action. I feel like he would have moved on to something else. So what do we do to prevent either people like that from getting to a position where they can do something like that? Or what do we do to prevent it so we can stop him from doing it? Or if the action's already started, what can we do to stop the action as soon as possible if there's already an action in a school? So there's some serious questions, but I don't think any of it is answered by saying magically get rid of this one gun.
Well, they snitched on him, so they should have done something when they knew about it.
Major problems with the FBI on this one. And that's what the discussion we should be looking at right now. Where did the procedures in the FBI fail? Because how many times was police called out, or the FBI investigate, or how many times did school have to call, or how many times was he expelled? How many red flags were there that were just ignored, and why were they ignored? So maybe we should spend more attention on the procedures of the FBI that could have actually prevented this.
Yes. What about, can the FBI get sued?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I don't know if it depends if they were following procedure. If they did something that was negligent to, well, I don't know. That's a good question, Bob. I can't answer that. Maybe I'll have to reach out to some law experts to find out.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bob. There's probably a level of protection for them. I got to imagine they can't be sued. What about the mental health aspect of it all? I'm going to take some more of your calls. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And I also want to play some more clips from Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And there's one clip in particular I want to play from CNN. There's people out there questioning the motivations of CNN and the way that they're running their coverage of this the last couple of days. So it brings up some pretty serious concerns on how we're approaching this topic, if it's in a responsible or productive manner, or if it's a way to sensationalize it in a way to, I guess, jeopardize on a tragedy, which we hope that's not happening, but it sure looks close to it. And I'll take some of your text messages, too, at 314-436-7900. Overnight America, KMOX. So this is what happened on, I think, CNN earlier today. Representative Jack Kingston with Alyson Camerota. Let me play this clip for you here real quick.
Jack, I want to start with something that you tweeted, because I don't understand it. So let me read to everyone what you tweeted on Sunday night about this. You said, oh, really? Students are planning a nationwide rally, not left-wing gun control activists using 17-year-old kids in the wake of a horrible tragedy. Hashtag Soros, hashtag resistance, hashtag Antifa, hashtag DNC. Do you think that, Jack? You think? You're serious?
Allison,
you think these kids aren't acting on their own volition?
Allison, I think it's a horrible tragedy, and I'm heartbroken that young people have gone through this, and I hope that it never happens again. Mm-hmm. But I also know that their sorrow can very easily be hijacked mm-hmm. by left-wing groups who have an agenda. Well, let's ask ourselves, do we really think that, and I say this sincerely, do we really think 17-year-olds on their own are going to plan a nationwide rally? I would say to you very plainly that organized groups that are out there, like mm-hmm. George Soros, are always ready to take the charge, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like instant rally, instant protest,
yeah.
and
hey,
those
Jack,
groups are ready to take it,
that, Jack,
take
I,
it to
I'm
the
sorry,
streets.
I have-
All right, so they weren't really interested in hearing this, but you know, I think it's a common sense question to ask. It's not easy to put together a rally. You know, as someone that's organized some things in the past and see all the things that have to go into it, I mean, you just don't say, meet us here at this time and everything will be okay. I mean, it's unfortunately, that's not how you organize things. But if that's how they think that it's organized, I can see why a bunch of 17-year-olds would be able to put something like that together, especially if they're in school or whatever it is. I think at the very least, they can look just in their own high school and say, can you just say prom is on this date at this time and expect everyone to show up and it would be effective? You're like, no, there's a lot of planning and things that go into it. So, yeah, high school students are capable of doing this sort of thing. But March on Washington, stuff like that, I got to say, they're not doing it alone. All right. There's parental people involved. And in some cases, there's financial backing involved. And in the past, we've seen large organizations, the Soroses and things, that are financing groups like this, period. So I don't think it's that absurd of a question to ask. And, you know, when you're on CNN, they're going to question that motive. But for some reason, if you question their motive of why they're bringing the students on, and they're, you know, they're asking them questions and they're talking to them about these sort of things. But are they taking advantage of the situation? Here's Brandon Abzug responding to Representative Jack Kingston.
I think it's very despicable that he would even have the audacity to say that. Young people all across this country and over the world should feel that they have the power to make things right. And especially in the wake of a tragedy, we really show who we truly are. So to say that just because we're young, we can't make a difference is not right. And he should apologize for that.
No, again, he was told what to say. Let's be honest. He was probably at a statement that was written out either by a lawyer or dad or whoever. So you got to be, listen, it's not a situation where we're trying to tell high school students that they have no say in any of this. They obviously have opinions and they can talk about those opinions and they can express those opinions and they are doing that and they are expressing those things. But keep in mind, too, that there are going to be people that will take advantage of this situation, and they may not be doing it as a number one means to approach the situation, but it could be happening where they don't realize it's happening, and it is. And it, you know what? I got to say, how many... I mean, quite honestly, I understand the concerns of Representative Jack Kingston. It's not that absurd to think that some of these major groups that have done this in the past when it comes to organizing protests, the Soroses, for example, that spend a lot of money for these type of social unrest. And it's not absurd to say that they would be jumping in and saying, this is right up our alley, and we would be out there to give you anything you need, and we'll help you organize it. Sarah Huckabee Sanders with the White House had a couple of things, too. What about the mental health aspect of all of this? How are we going to look at the mental health aspect of these people that want to commit these crimes?
The president is very focused on mental illness, working with the Health and Human Services Department to determine the best path forward on that and what is available and allowed under the law. Certainly something that we take very seriously and something that we want to address and that we're working hand in hand with both the federal government as well as state and local law enforcement officials on what we legally can do. Unfortunately, we can't just flip a switch, but there is a process. We are a law and order country, and the president is trying to do everything that he can under his capacity to address these concerns, and certainly when it comes to mental illness.
All right, so what did the president say himself? Here's the president talking about safety in schools.
School safety is a top priority for my administration. That is why when governors from across the nation visit the White House next week, we will be discussing at great length what the federal and state governments can do to keep our students safe. This includes implementing common sense security measures and addressing mental health issues, including better coordination between federal and state law enforcement to take swift action when there are warning signs.
See, this is good. I mean, this is the approach I think you need to take at the start. You need to work your way to the point of what's going to be the most effective and start working there. Now, looking for concrete solutions, there was another report that came out from Reuters earlier today. The White House said that they are open to set an age limit on buying the AR-15, the typically purchased, in this case, legally, by Cruz, the teenager who shot 17 people in the Florida high school last week. Says, I think certainly something that's on the table for us to discuss and that we could expect to come up with the next couple of weeks, Sarah Sanders said during the daily press briefing. Donald Trump believed that there should be an age limit for the purchase of AR-15 type rifles. So, I mean, there's talk going on, and I think the discussion is actually furthered more than it has in the past. I mean, normally it stops at a certain point, but it's continuing to go. I think that people do want to find a solution to this, but what they want to do is find a solution that is effective, not temporary. Effective, long-term, not temporary. So that's what we're going to try to shoot for, I think. No pun intended. That was a wrong word to use. That was accidental, but I think that's what they're trying to do. All right, so I do want to talk about something else that happened here. In Madison County, can we just build a wall around Madison County? I was a little offended by listening to what this sheriff said out there. I'm going to play some clips, plus Kevin Killeen's whole other story on it. You know, it's kind of interesting to blame St. Louis. It's probably easy to blame St. Louis for crime in your county. I get it. I get we're an easy target. Fine. But, you know, I didn't like it. So something just rubbed me wrong by it. I want to talk about that coming up on Overnight America KMOX. There's a story you can find at KMOX.com, but also everyone else reporting it. So officials are announcing that they are pushing for longer prison sentences to deter crime coming from St. Louis into Madison County. So let me play a couple of the clips. I know we were out there, and you can hear some of the clips in our news, and I know Kevin Killeen put some in his whole other story, which I'm going to play for you. But here's from KMOV in their news package regarding Madison County's reaction to the crime that may be leaking over to their county.
Madison County officials blamed the city of St. Louis for bringing crime across the river.
Madison County is now starting to feel the effects of being in such close proximity to one of the most dangerous cities in the United States.
We do have violent crimes that are being brought to Madison County by citizens of the city of St. Louis and surrounding areas. Our drug epidemic, is largely fueled by drugs that are coming from the city of St. Louis.
Okay, so there's a couple of officials that were quoted there on KMOV. They were part of a press conference. So here's a couple of the things, too. He said, you'll hear me say, and I have said it in the past, that Madison County is now starting to feel the effects of being in such close proximity to one of the most dangerous cities in the United States. That was the county sheriff there, John Lackin. Two men were charged Tuesday in connection with a shooting death of a 45-year-old St. Louis man that happened there in Madison County. Officials also say that Julius and Ralph, the suspects, were brought to Grady over to Madison County from St. Louis and shot him to death on a Glen Carbon Street. Officers say the incident may have occurred due to a previous drug overdose death that took place at Grady's house. So both suspects are currently in custody in Madison County Sheriff's Office. Then, you know, just hearing the police officers there talking about it this way kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't like their approach to this. I mean, fine. You know, you can blame St. Louis for things. We're an easy target. We're an easy punching bag. But, you know, it still feels like a cheap shot. They don't have to come and cheap shot the city. Maybe you would hear something like that and say, yep, that's exactly what the problem is. You know, people importing crime. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And I mostly hear this because I grew up in Detroit, and there was a lot of these same discussions that happened in Detroit. So neighboring, and by the way, it was Detroit was the one that was saying things. So at the time, they had one of the most corrupt mayors in the history of the world. His name was Kwame Kilpatrick. And part of their problem was they thought the reason why Detroit was always behind is because people would bring their crime to the city and commit it there. So one of the famous spats they had was with garbage collection in the city of Detroit. So the mayor said the reason why we are losing so much money on garbage collection is because from outside counties, they're bringing their garbage and dumping them on our abandoned lots, and it's costing us more money to collect this because they're driving in the garbage. And people immediately said, you know how stupid, absurd that is of a thing? You know, of all the problems in Detroit, you're saying the reason you're losing money is because people are dumping their garbage from outside counties? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And when I hear this sort of thing happening in Madison County, I get it. I get it. You know, it's crime doesn't necessarily stay in the same neighborhood as the people committing it, right? They go other places to commit crime. When you hear about traffic accidents caused by certain people, you may find their license plate was from a different state. You may find that, too, when, you know, they're just out in a certain area. It might not be on the block they live on, but it could be a couple of cities down. It's not like St. Louis is purposely trying to outsource their crime and say, you know what, a great way to get our statistics down? Boy, we'll just encourage people to go to the surrounding counties and do it there. No, not really. You know, and the same thing with the drugs. The accessibility to drugs is not unique to St. Louis. There's a lot of areas that have drug problems. In fact, this opioid addiction problem is a nationwide issue that on the federal level, they're still trying to find solutions to. So to say, you know, the only source of drugs is St. Louis and it's being imported because of that, you know, I'm a little skeptical on how they want to just throw St. Louis under the bus. This is a nationwide thing. So here's the thing. You know, you got your own problems. You got to deal with them. You can deal with them in your own certain ways. But again, it feels like a kidney shot. I was listening to the whole nother story, and Kevin Kleen approached this in a way that I really liked, mostly because you don't get to hear this theme song all that often.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith. With Ronnie.
We'd all like to think that we live in Mayberry. Whether you live in Tower Grove South, Shrewsbury, Florissant, or Glen Carbon, we'd like to think that the really bad crime is happening someplace else. That was the feeling at a news conference at the Madison County Sheriff's Office as they announced the arrest of two men accused of shooting and killing a man on a quiet, low-crime street in Glen Carbon. Sheriff John Lackin seemed to blame it on a trend of crime from someplace else migrating into Madison County.
Madison County is now starting to feel the effects of being in such close proximity to one of the most dangerous cities in the United States. And what we have to understand here, we can't build a wall around Madison County and expect St. Louis to pay for it.
Madison County Prosecutor Tom Gibbons hammered that same theme. Crime from someplace else, violent crime and drug crime is invading the quiet confines of Madison County.
Once again, we have seen how individuals from St. Louis are bringing violent crime to Madison County. And the message you should receive today is that if you come to Madison County, you will get Madison County justice.
In our own neighborhood, Webster Groves, somebody stole a power saw out of the neighbor's garage just the other night. And on Christmas Eve, thieves stole a box of jewelry from an unlocked rental car in our driveway, earrings and a necklace that was for our mother. It was only there a half an hour, but it was gone. What town around hasn't had a murder in the last 10 years? I feel sorry for the people of Glen Carbon, who will forever drive past the spot where the body was found and think that that's where it was. We would all rather live in Mayberry. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
So good. Way to go, Kevin. You know, I don't even, I think that might be played tomorrow morning. I may have just scooped Total Information AM by playing that, but that's okay. I've gotten permission to do it in the past. Mayberry Lost, a whole nother story with Kevin Killeen. So he makes a good point. You hear the clip there where the sheriffs are talking about building a wall around Madison County. All right. Okay, this is not escape from New York or escape from St. Louis situation we're talking about here. Yes, St. Louis has got its problems, and they're trying to deal with them in the best way they can. But, you know, even to say we just can't build up a wall and expect St. Louis. I think you got to tone it down a little, all right? You're coming off a little aggressive. You know, I keep looking at some of the other statistics that are out there, the crime statistics, and how we're tracking for this year. You know, you can go online and see these things. We're not that far removed from January. We're almost 2 months into 2018 already. It's pretty amazing how these things are working. But, you know, I think we're starting to see some positive changes already. I think that I'm getting some text messages, which I might read here in a little bit. But your defense of St. Louis is infuriating and insulting to others that have nearly lost lives downtown. No, what I'm saying is that if you're in Madison County and you just taking kidney shots at St. Louis, I understand you could be angry, but to hold a press conference, to go out there and say all of our problems is because of someone else doesn't address the problem or doesn't address how you're going to deal with the problem. But ultimately, it's just to shift direction somewhere else. Madison County has every right to look into themselves. St. Louis needs to be thrown under the bus until it learns to protect its downtown citizens. Yeah, no, St. Louis is dealing with their own problems. It's not to say St. Louis is a utopia. We know the problems that they're facing every day. We know it. You know, it's an interesting debate, but I just don't like the approach Madison County's taking. Build a wall around Madison County to stop people from St. Louis to go over there. All right, come on. You know, you don't think that's going a little bit too far? You don't think you're trying to insult the city? Coming up, we're going to talk about the good things, you know, the tell me something goods. Actually, a couple of local stories to tell me something good. Three local stories to share, which I think you'll really enjoy. Plus, some local food things, celebrities talking about taking a break, and maybe even George Clooney running for politics. What do broke millennials and rich billionaires have in common? Well, not a lot. Lots of things to get to on the show, too. And you can always tweet at the show, at Ryan Recker, or ryan.recker at kmox.com. That's my email address. I do like to see the comments that do come in, so go ahead and continue to text at 314-436-7900. We still got a couple another hours, and be careful when you're driving. In fact, we're keeping updates from MoDOT. Lots of different accidents around the area. It seems like they're actively working these things. When the rain comes down and the visibility gets low, you might not see the lines on the road. It can be very difficult driving around some of these interstates. Just take it easy. Be careful. Leave enough distance between you and your car in front of you, all right? It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scored!
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.